We are talking with Gerald Lawless. He is the executive chairman of Jumeirah Group. Gerald, many, many thanks indeed for staying with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Richard.
I'm keen to get on in a couple of minutes to bigger picture issues regarding tourism. You are off to Davos tomorrow for the World Economic Forum. You sit on the Aviation, Travel and Tourism Committee there. You're also an active member of the World Trade Travel and Tourism Council. And looking at these bigger issues with the tourism industry and its role really within the world economy and society, and I'm keen to talk about those. Couple more specific Jumeirah business issues, first of all. And restaurants. I was down in the in Emirates Terrace today, walking past what used to be Scarlett's, which I knew and loved for many, many years. It is now no more, and it is going to be the Ivy, which is obviously a very high-profile brand that you're bringing over to Dubai. And the restaurant business, the standalone restaurant business, is increasingly important to you, isn't it? Previously, they were just every hotel has to have restaurants, and that's fine. But now you've got brands like the Noodle House that exist outside of hotels. And there are more of these, and you're growing more of them. Yeah. Tell us about that business.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is such an important part of the overall hotel business, particularly in the luxury sector. But as a member of Dubai Holding, our parent company, we took over the IP rights for the Caprice restaurants in the Middle East and North Africa at the beginning of last year. And in doing so, we actually ended up having the rights to such restaurants as the Ivy, but also the Rivington Grill, which we run in the Old Town in Dubai. We have Annabelle's, Harry's Bar, Scott's Restaurant. So we've got quite a family of potential brands which we'll be able to develop both within our hotels and outside our hotels in the region for the future. But it's also quite exciting to see that one of our own homegrown brands, which to us is always important because we like to be able to, like Jumeirah, to develop something from Dubai and then to take it internationally, is something really important for us. And years ago, I think Robert Kunkler was the manager at the time in the Emirates Towers Hotel, and he persuaded us to let him develop this restaurant concept called the Noodle House. And the Noodle House took off immediately and was a great success. But people used to keep coming to us and saying, you know, well, who owns the franchise for this? And then finally the penny dropped and we said, well, I guess we do. So we decided it might be worthwhile setting up a proper restaurants division, and we brought Phil Broad on board to really set it up to get things moving, particularly to franchise a Noodle House. We now have 20 Noodle Houses in operation. 6 of them are owned by Jumeirah, but the rest are franchised. And it's interesting also that we can move. We have Noodle Houses ranging from Cyprus all the way down to Melbourne, Australia. And we have huge plans for the Noodle House for the future. It's become a very popular brand. I have my own dream to take the Noodle House into China. I think it might be a little bit cheeky to
take Coles to Newcastle.
Yeah, maybe, but sort of our idea of what cold tastes like. But it could be quite good, and I think that there's an excellent opportunity for us to continue developing it. We're also in discussion, or at least Phil Broad is, in London at the moment with the possibility of developing even more of the Noodle House brands within the United Kingdom. So it's great to see this developing as an offshoot of the success of one of the restaurants in Jumeirah. And we have many other opportunities, places such as the Agency, for example. Also the
Another very strong brand.
The Agency is our wine bar.
A very strong brand.
A very strong brand, sorry.
Within
yes.
Dubai, certainly, but it hasn't travelled yet.
We haven't, no. We haven't rolled it out yet, but we have aspirations for it as well, to take it outside Dubai. And I think we can. Also the Al Nafura restaurant is another one that has great potential, which is our Lebanese restaurant, and we have the first one will open later in the year. The second one, sorry, there's one there already obviously in the Emirates Towers, but later in the year we will open an Al Nafura restaurant in the Souq Medina Jumeirah.
Can I ask a very selfish question?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Rib Room for lunch about 6 weeks ago with a mate of mine, and we got there and it was shut.
I know, Emirates Towers. But wait till you see, Richard, you're going to love it when it reopens, and Sophia and all the team will be there to welcome you. But it's, again, the Rib Room. I don't know if you've ever been to the Rib Room at the Jumeirah Carlton Tower in London.
And I don't think it's as good as the one in Dubai. Personal opinion.
That's fine. We don't mind. They're both ours.
Exactly.
But it will be open again soon.
Oh, I look forward to that. But the restaurant business, it has its own dynamic, doesn't it? It has its own potential, but also its own challenges. It is a very, very competitive space. Let's look at Noodle House, which is the homegrown brand, and you're franchising it. But in that space, which is a kind of, you know, mid-market, quite funky, trendy, Asian fusion cuisine, whatever you yes. want to call it. You know, there's the Wagamamas of this world and many, many others. And it's not massively difficult to replicate a noodle house concept. I mean, if I don't know, if Tim and I wanted to go out and say, okay, let's have a restaurant that's got big long tables, serves, you know, mid-priced Asian food, and mm-hmm. it's quite funky and cool. There's a lot of competition in that space, isn't there? An awful lot of competition. And here's my question. Differentiation. How do you maintain that so that people will go to Noodle House and not a million other restaurants like it?
Yes, it's the evolution of the whole brand identity. And this is the brand story. And it's the story we take to investors as well. We say that we have the wherewithal to do the promotion of the brand, to do the development and evolution of the brand. And people actually are loyal to brands. We see it very much with Costa Coffee, for example, with Starbucks coffee. Yes, you could do a coffee shop, but people will still go to the brands that they like. And I guess that's what's happening within the restaurants division. That's what helps us to be able to do it. But I also think on a slightly different tack that food and beverage is the heart and soul of a hotel operation. Food and beverage helps to define the atmosphere of a hotel. And it has a huge part to play in drawing people to stay in a hotel and to use a hotel on a regular basis and to become loyal to that particular hotel.
In terms of the high-end stuff, Noodle House is the mid-market brand. The Ivy, which is opening,
yes. So
is it soon or is it in some time?
No, it's under construction at the moment, so in another couple of months we'll be ready, yeah.
But that, again, it's a competitive market here in Dubai, and we've got today, you know, Atmosphere in the Burj Khalifa opening, La Petite Maison is all the rage at the moment, people are talking about it. There's a lot of good restaurants, some of them international brand names or celebrity chefs, and they're expensive, Gerald, aren't they? They're not cheap, these places. Is the appetite there for these kind of high-end restaurants now? Do people still want to spend that kind of money, you know, 500, 1,000 dirhams per person for dinner?
Well, I think the quality market is still there. And we've seen quite a recovery, actually, in dining out over the last quarter of 2010 and sustained well into 2011. That combined, particularly in hotels, where we have a lot of these so-called standalone restaurants. But if you consider a hotel, say, like Jumeirah Beach Hotel, in the peak periods, say, around the UK half-term holidays, we can have up to 1,600 people staying in our hotels. So the guests within the hotel drive the business a lot as well, which also helps to create atmosphere within the restaurants, which attracts a lot of people from the local community. And it's amazing in Dubai. I mean, restaurants are opening every day, but it is an eating out society. People like to go out. They like to enjoy themselves. And within the hotels, we find that we can sustain our business at the moment, despite the fact that we have a huge amount of restaurants. I mean, we run 114 restaurants and bars in Dubai within Jumeirah.
Let's talk about marketing and promotion. I was at the golf yesterday, the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship. Martin Keimer did particularly well, but I was following not Martin Keimer, the winner, but Rory McIlroy for a few holes. And he is one of your boys, isn't he? You've been sponsoring Rory McIlroy for 2 or 3 years now, and he's got his Jumeirah cap on. Tell us that story. How does a hotel company in Dubai end up sponsoring a teenage golf prodigy from Northern Ireland?
Well, you talk about branding. I mean, that's been one of our great success stories, probably the only one better than some of the stunts we've done at Burj Al Arab with Agassi and Federer playing tennis on the helicopter pad, and also Tiger Woods teeing off from the helicopter pad. But what started with Rory is very interesting, because Alistair Murray, our chief financial officer for the Jumeirah Group, is a keen golfer himself and has a very low handicap. But he happens to come from the same town in Northern Ireland as Rory, and has known Rory's family for years. And he would come to me about 4, 5, 6 years ago and say, there's this young lad coming up in Northern Ireland. He's a great golfer, you know, we must sponsor him. And I said, okay, well, do something about it. So he kept talking about it year after year, but of course we couldn't do anything until Rory turned professional. But by then Alistair had already spoken to the family, and immediately on Rory actually becoming a professional, we were there with the agreement ready to be signed, ready to sponsor him, which was a great opportunity for us. Well, I think it's also quite ironic. There aren't many times in my career as an executive within a company, a CEO or whatever, that the CFO is coming to me trying to persuade me to spend money on marketing. It's usually the other way around. But
very rarely happens. How do you gauge the benefits of those kind of sponsorship deals? Okay, he's got Jumeirah on his cap. Great. And we all see that when he's being interviewed. It's tough, isn't it? Where is the value?
Well, it's the old story about you don't know which part of which half of your advertising is being read. But certainly from the monitoring we do, and we have professional agencies monitoring the amount of exposure that Rory would get with the Jumeirah Cup. And if you look at like today, that he was playing with Martin Keimer in the last round. So the two of them, they're the only two guys on television for most of the afternoon. And you should see the media marquee or the media tent you probably have in Abu Dhabi. Wow, it's huge. And you know the amount of coverage we're getting internationally, it's almost very, very difficult to measure. But yes, we do get a measurement on an annual basis, and it runs into the millions of dollars. It's been very, very good for us.
We're going to take a short break. More from Gerard Lawless after that.